Neil, the Justice Department has two lawsuits actually going here as they take aim at Google. Can you give us a breakdown of what these two cases are? Then we're going to focus on one in particular.
There's two cases, one of which has a judge has said that there is some liability that Google had anti-competitive conduct. This one involved Google Search, the tool that everybody is very familiar with, but Google had these default arrangements with different companies, including Apple, Mozilla, some other organizations, Android. And basically, it said that Google would be the default search engine on these types of platforms. And DOJ alleged that that was anti-competitive, and a court found that some parts of that activity was anti-competitive. There is another case that involves Google's what's known as advertising tech stack. Google as a giant industry, is a big player in the industry of online advertising. And that case is extremely technically complex. It's also in its early stages. They just closed sort of oral arguments in September. So we don't really know how that one's going to turn out. And so, but we know a lot more about the Google search case that's ongoing right now.
Well, one of the cases involves Chrome, which is a product that millions of Americans actually use. What is the Justice Department's issue with Google and the use of Chrome?
One thing that's really interesting about the Google search case is that obviously Google search is the default search engine on Google's own browser, which is Chrome. So when you type into the address bar, you can type a search term there and it uses Google search engine. That wasn't actually part of an allegation that that was illegal. The judge did not find that. He didn't say that this type of including Google search in Google Chrome, which is, after all, Google's own product, was anti-competitive. That type of vertical, what they call vertical integration, is often very beneficial for consumers. In fact, it might be very surprising to the average consumer if they went to Google search, Google's browser, and used some other search engine, right, that they didn't want to use. So that wasn't part of the actual finding of fault among Google. But it is part of the quite expansive remedies that DOJ is suggesting that the judge adopts to fix this anti-competitive behavior. And so one of the things that they suggested, that DOJ has suggested, is that the judge order Google to spin off Chrome, to sell it to another company, and that it no longer be part of Google's process or Google's its own search engine, but that be somebody else's. Mm-hmm. DOJ doesn't really know who that would be, and it's not clear when Google could do that or what it would do to the product. But I think for the vast majority of Americans who use Chrome and like it, it's the most popular browser in the world, that why mess with something that works is one question, especially when it doesn't seem to be part of, or it wasn't part of the actual anti-competitive behavior that the judge found.
As you mentioned, Chrome is one of the most widely, if not the most widely used product by many consumers. So at the end of the day, if the Justice Department gets its way in this case, what would be the impact on we, the end user of Chrome?
Well, so Google obviously has spent a lot of time and money building the Chrome product, and in part because it fits into their business model. And so the question is, if Chrome ended up owned by somebody else, another company, what would be the amount of investment, updates, et cetera, that company would put into Chrome going forward? Or would it sort of, be a much more static product that wasn't updated or constantly improved? So I think that's the concern. How will DOJ find a way, if the judge grants this, what is frankly a pretty extreme remedy, if they granted that, how will DOJ ensure that the Chrome product continues to be a viable product outside of the Google business model?
Why is it, Neil, that regulators and prosecutors always seem to be going after big tech? What's the reason behind this?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think they differ based on the sort of political orientation of the prosecutors. I think for, the left, they see big companies as a problem overall. And whether it's big tech or big agricultural companies or companies that, produce natural gas or things like that, I think they see big as bad generally. Even though we know that, big often produces what are called economies of scale and can produce cheaper products that provide a lot of benefit to consumers. And so I think that's the sort of biggest bag knee jerk on that side. I think on the right, you know, a lot of it has to do with more bias concerns or concerns that people in these tech companies don't reflect the values of people, say, on the right. And I think that that narrative has gotten much more complicated that narrative is largely driven by social media concerns. And I think that narrative has gotten more complicated as, you know, we do see big, you know, I'm putting in air quotes, big tech companies like X.com, you know, being more friendly to viewpoints that span the political spectrum.
We are, of course, going to have a new administration take office here in just a few weeks. Donald Trump has appointed a new U.S. Attorney General. So with the onset of the Trump administration, can we, just generally speaking here, Neil, look forward to fewer of these regulatory interventions in the private sector?
The Google case here that we're talking about, the Google search case, was actually started under the previous Trump administration. And so I think that case will continue. You know, there's a big difference, and I think there's a big difference in regulatory philosophy between the Biden administration and the incoming Trump administration. But antitrust cases are not the types of red tape regulatory approaches that are very popular in the Biden administration. They're enforcement actions. And I think that probably there won't be a huge change, certainly not in this case. The biggest change will be in the remedies. And you know, I think the Biden administration wants to do these complicated red tape regulatory remedies that would basically make Google either split it up or like heavily regulated under some sort of consent order that a court would manage. Whereas I would expect the Trump administration to look at the remedies. And Trump has already said this on the campaign trail. He said that he's not sure that breaking up these big companies is the right remedy when we're often relying on them to keep our competitive edge, you know, vis-a-vis international competitors such as China. And so I think the remedies that they'll look at will be much more measured, much more focused on the actual competitive harms that the court found. But I think this case in particular will continue.
We have been talking here with Neil Chilson. Neil formerly was chief trade technologist at the Federal Trade Commission. He is now head of AI, artificial intelligence policy, at the Abundance Institute. Neil, tell us a little bit about the Abundance Institute.
The Abundance Institute is a relatively new, we started last April, mission-driven nonprofit, and we're dedicated to creating a policy and a cultural environment where emerging technologies such as AI, new energy technologies, can germinate, develop, and thrive. And that's because we believe that technology is the primary driver to widespread human prosperity. And we think that, you know, the U.S. has a great opportunity to seize here in these emerging technologies to make everybody's life better. And so we just want to make sure that we have the right policy framework and the right cultural attitudes here in the U.S. That allow that prosperity to happen.
And a website for the Abundance Institute?
It's really easy. It's abundance.institute.
Neil Chilson of the Abundance Institute. Neil, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.